Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning out there, boys and girls. This is the Coach live from New York. No, it's not New York. It's Wichita, Kansas, where we're down here for, hi guys, down here for Operation Save America National Event. I'm standing right here in the doorway of the breakfast room, big breakfast room. Everybody's going to come rolling in. So if I get distracted and wave to somebody, I don't want them to think I'm being mean to them. Had a great day yesterday. Going to review that a little bit. Going to have some guests for you today. Going to share the scriptures with you today. And you know, one of the good things about coming on, my wife made it. How about that? She joined us. So my ribs back with me makes me feel like I'm a little bit more completed. I always love having Michelle around. The great thing about something like this is we come down here. You know, I lose all contact. I noticed this morning when I got up, I looked at the TV, thought, I haven't turned that thing on once. I'm in a hotel room and haven't turned the TV on not one time. And so when we came live this morning, I said, what's the big news? I asked Mike Heath, who's helping me with my tech here on this end, say, hey, what's the news? He said, the Republican convention. So I guess there isn't really any news if that's what they're stirring up. Nobody got killed last night. No cops got shot. None of that. So I guess from that standpoint, things are good in the world. So it's up to you guys if I'm missing out on some big news. Old Steven coming in here from Indianapolis. He's been a big help to us. So if I'm missing anything from your end, feel free to pipe in and let me know exactly what's going on. And if you're watching by at home, you're watching on your iPhone or your whatever, jump in here. We have room here on the screen this morning for guys to jump in. I heard from a guy yesterday, said he was a little bit nervous about joining the show. So if you're out there and you've always been a little bit nervous about jumping in here, this will be a good day for you to do it. We'll be nice to you. We'll break you in good and easy. I still haven't gotten a good count on how many of us that are here. There's old Bill Hewitt walking in. Morning, Bill. How many are here? I think there's, other than in the mornings when we get together and we get organized and we get set up and we break off, we go different directions, it's really hard to tell you exactly how many people are here. Yeah, guys are messing with the light around us if you wonder what's going on. So I don't know. I'd say we probably have in the neighborhood of 500, probably. Could be more, could be less. Men, women, children, as I said yesterday, it's alive with kids. It is so alive with kids. And yesterday, Jason Storms, who's one of the really great young activists in the world, Pastor Matt Twell of Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, it's his son-in-law, Jason Storms, did some training yesterday with the young guys, took them to the streets, and so we got good stuff going on, and it's like a spiritual camp for families. Bring all these little kids here, and they get trained up in the things, and then the teenagers and adults, young adults. So we're doing some great stuff down here. What we did yesterday, my team, they divide us into 9 different teams. At least that's what we had yesterday. This gives you an idea of how many people are here. There were 36 people in my team. So do the math, and that gives you some idea the type of numbers that we're talking about. Now, that doesn't include the little kids and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, some locals who don't come to our meeting in the morning, they just kind of show up at the event. So we have a lot of people. We divided into 9 different groups, and we went to a lot of different venues. One of the places where we ended up last night is a place called the Watchman of the Plains. I think it's something like that. You know, it's a big Indian statue. And guys, I got to tell you, man, it's unbelievably pagan. And it's right in the heart of two rivers come together in downtown Wichita, the little Arkansas River and the Arkansas River. They flow together. And at that point, it used to be an Indian sacrifice. Well, they did their rituals to, you know, honor whatever their gods were. So they built, the city has built a big monument there. I mean, big monument, with a big cast iron Indian standing up on top of it. And it is pagan central. Oh, my goodness, it's pagan central. And they've got displays down there, and they've got pictures of tomahawks and peace pipes and feathers and medicine men, all that stuff down there. And I'm, there's no doubt, you know, again, we talk about evil spirits in high places, principalities and powers. That's a high place here in Wichita, Kansas, and I don't think people even understand it. My buddy Chad, who's come in from Texas, he even discovered an old Argyle. You guys remember what an Argyle is? But it's half man, half whatever. Saw it in Ghostbusters. Remember Ghostbusters? That Argyle got loose and chased him. They got a big Argyle down there right along the water. And you begin to ask yourself, whose idea was it to put an Argyle down there? Did those guys get together in the room and say, hey, let's do this. Let's raise a bunch of money. Let's put this creepy, crazy, demonic being down there. Let's build a statue down there. Which tells us that those who are in positions of power, remember now, evil spirits in high places. There's a demonic realm for sure, and there are people who are serving that demonic realm. And we're down there at Wichita yesterday, downtown, at the Keeper of the Plains. That's what it's called, Keeper of the Plains. And we read the Bible out loud. It's one of the things we do call it word and warfare. All of our groups read the Bible out loud at different places, federal building, courthouse, the abortion clinic, about 9 different places. And we were down there reading the Bible out loud, and all of a sudden I grabbed it. It was my turn. I grabbed the Bible, and I started street preaching out of the Bible. That's easy to do. You just read the Bible and just listen to what the Lord says, and you read a phrase, and then you say something. I started doing that. And I did it for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I handed it off to Stephen, and Stephen started street preaching out of the Bible, and man, oh, man, did the sparks start to fly. The cops showed up. People started complaining. They couldn't hear the music. And in the background, over the city of Wichita at this monument, night and day, day and night, plays an Indian beat. And then, that's constantly going out over the city of Wichita. Now, if you're watching this and you think I'm crazy, Morning Bill, if you don't have spirit eyes, you don't get it. You don't understand what's going on. I'm telling you, there's something unbelievably demonic that's going on. So that was pretty much our day yesterday. Pastor Matt Terwell, I'll try to grab Pastor Matt this morning if he comes rolling in. He did a teaching last night on the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, and many have heard about it but haven't really heard it. And it was very, very powerful. And the idea being that it's our job, especially as Christian men, to interpose or stand between evil and good. That's what our elected officials are supposed to do. The idea of the doctrine of the lesser magistrates is when the President of the United States, the higher magistrate, issues an unjust edict down to the people, that the lesser magistrate or the lower magistrate should step in. So President Obama issues an executive order that violates the rights of the people, it's the job of the governor or the state legislators to step in between the people and the president. Well, you take any issue. We're talking about the marriage right now, the whole marriage issue. And we call it here in the marriage issue, we call it states' rights, right? That's the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The states stand up and say to the feds, no, not here. You're not allowed to do that here. And Matt has made a great argument that this is the only way that we're going to be able to reclaim this nation. Is we're not going to do it through the courts, guys, girls. We're not going to be able to reclaim it through the courts. The courts are so corrupt. They're so corrupt that the only way we're going to be able to do it is have brave men and brave women to stand up and say, no, that does not apply here. And Matt gave us a great biblical explanation for that last night and why that's what we have to do, and that abortion right now isn't the law of the land. We just think it is. They just tell us that it is. And for 40-some years, we've been following the idea that it is the law of the land. And just consider this. Your police officers, think now, police officers who are guarding abortion clinics where murder is taking place, We had a video last night that proved that abortion is murder. The act of abortion is murder. From a legal definition, why it is murder. And so things are turned upside down and turned on their head when you go outside an abortion clinic and we get in trouble for holding signs while the police protect those who are actually murdering babies. Now, that sounds like a harsh word, but we really think that that's one of the things we have to do is we have to begin to, once again, call a spade a spade. Stop calling it abortion. It's not abortion. It's murder. It's not legal. They just tell us it's legal. Same thing with gay marriage. And so those are some of the things that we take on, we fight against down here in Operation Save America. Let me take a deep breath and take a pause and see if anybody in the queue's got anything they want to add here this morning before we get to rolling. Anything big I've missed in the news? Anything like that? Hang on. Steven's giving me a scouting report here. Say it again, Steven. You say it loud. Yeah. Okay, Mike's got a booth set up behind me. I'm looking back here. And if we get an interview, we're going to send him down there to Mike. We're going to get it done. Hey, let's get the scriptures ready. We always like to start out a little bit of scripture. By the way, I think I told you this. Two more huddle viewers are here today. Wayne came up and saw me last night. If he comes walking in here, I'm going to grab him. So that encourages me, Roger, that there are guys out there who are sick and tired of what's going on, and they don't know where to plug in or how to plug in, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So we're in second. I want to go to where am I? Second Corinthians today. We'll get this in before we start. Everybody rolls into eating, and we'll do a few interviews for you. Have a cup of coffee myself. 2 Corinthians, there's a lot of places we could talk. I want to talk to you about one of the points that was made last night is we haven't done a very good job of preparing our children for persecution. Now we get on this queue and we talk and we read and everywhere you look, it's almost universally believed by those who are in the know that persecution's coming to Christians in particular. Remember this. If, in fact, the government is the determinant of what is right and wrong, good and bad, if that's the government that makes that determination, then by its very nature, government will say this is right and this is wrong. When government makes that determination, then now government is forced to punish one and protect the other. So as we see going on everywhere in America today, the outlawing of free speech is occurring everywhere we can. They started out with what they called hate speech, right? And now we're finding that they're going to criminalize hate speech. It's a different set of crime. If you say something that somebody found offensive, that's a crime. And now we're going to see that they're going to begin to move on to the point where if you make any type of criticisms of all, let's say of the gay agenda or homosexuality, that's now going to become a crime. So when the government gets involved and the government when they move away from the laws of God, the laws of nature and of nature's God, and the government begins to determine for themselves what is right and what is wrong, they are by very nature required to punish some behaviors and reward other behaviors. That's why the scriptures, morning Eva, that's why the scriptures tell us, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Now the question we have to ask ourselves, fellas, are we preparing our children for this persecution? Are we really? Do we really believe it's coming, or has the doctrine of the rapture, whatever term you want to use, has it now convinced us that we're going to get out of here and we're not going to have to face any of this stuff? Because clearly, if you can see, those of us who are on God's side, to use that term, man, there's a lot of pressure coming down on all the liberties and all the things that we always took for granted, our generation took for granted. The kids coming behind us, they're not taking it for granted anymore. So the question was asked last night, are we preparing our children for the persecution that's coming? And I want to show you something. In 2 Corinthians, I hope, Roger, so that I don't get distracted, I'm going to let you do a little bit of reading for us here this morning, all right? Let's go. Let's begin, Roger, in 2 Corinthians 11, and let's go to 17. 2 Corinthians 11, verse, oh my goodness. I like the sound of those pages turning. This is Paul now, right? This is Paul, and he's relaying to us some of the, pardon my French, some of the crap he's been through. And let's start. It's like, you know, well, let's read that verse. Let's read this verse. Let's read this verse. Let's read this verse. That's what I'm doing right now. Let's start in verse 3. I'm going to go way on back there. Way on back. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Rog, go ahead and start that for us there, bud, if you can, this morning.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Okay, now hang on a minute. Let's understand exactly what he's saying here. Christianity is simple. It's simple. But we have to be careful, just like the devil fooled Eve, there are going to be those who are going to fool us about Christianity. It's not complicated. This whole thing isn't complicated. We make it complicated. And he said, be careful through subtlety. Subtle, you're not going to know it's happening to you. They're going to change the truth on you. Keep going, Rog. Verse 4.
For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Okay, hang on. Shows us a couple things. Somebody's going to come and they're going to preach another Jesus, so there must be another Jesus. There's another spirit, and there's another gospel. There are these counterfeits that are out there. Paul's making it very clear to us. And he said that if anybody comes and they start talking about a gospel you never heard about, they start talking about, be careful. Remember, talking about being beguiled. We're going to be beguiled. We don't want to be beguiled. Keep going, Rog, verse 5.
For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, and not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
I kind of like that verse because he's rude in speech.
Yeah.
I think rude means plain, but he said, I'm a straight talker, boys, and some of you may not like it, but I'm a straight talker. Keep on there. We're going to get into this real good. Remember, we're talking about persecution. Are you preparing your kids for persecution? Verse 7.
Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I rob other churches, taking wages of them to do you service.
He's talking about getting offerings when we went around. Keep going.
And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren, which came from Macedonia, supplied and in all things. I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself.
So he says, I'm in nobody's pocket. I came and I preached the gospel. People gave offerings. I lived off the offerings of the people. I'm in nobody's pocket. That's what Paul said. I'm not getting donations from Chase Bank. I'm not getting donations from Wall Street. Nobody has me. I'm speaking the truth to you. Okay, keep going because we'll get to where I'm trying to head. Verse 10.
As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia.
So you understand what he's saying? Nobody's got me in their pocket. Verse 11. By the way, Roger, when you see wherefore there, that simply means why. Why? So when he says wherefore, he's saying why, you're asking me? Go ahead.
Wherefore? Because I love you not, God knoweth.
I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you think it's love or not, he says.
But what I do that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we.
Okay, so he's moving now into the false teachers. I know this is laborious. Stay with us here. Go ahead.
No, it's God's word. It's not laborious.
Amen. I'm just trying to paint a scenario here so it makes sense to what's going on.
Preach it, brother.
So Paul says, listen, I've been going around, I've been telling you guys the truth. I'm not charging anybody any money, nothing. I'm giving you the truth. I'm in nobody's pocket. And you're going to have all these other people that are going to come around. They're going to lie to you. They're going to give you another gospel. They're going to give you another spirit. Be aware of those. These guys are coming. That's what he's telling us, okay? Go ahead, Rog.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Yeah, they give themselves fancy names. They pastor this and reverend this and apostle this and bishop this and all that kind of stuff. Be careful of those guys, he said. Keep going.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
That's right. They're going to say stuff, make you think that they're holy. Go ahead.
15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his missteps also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Uh-oh. The end. He said, be careful. Men are going to do this to you, and it's going to be measured. They're going to measure by their works, how big their buildings get, how big their meetings are, how much money's rolling in, how many programs they have. He said, they're going to transform themselves into a minister of light. You're going to think it's good, but be careful. We're going somewhere, Roger. Stay with us.
I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little.
Okay, here we go now. We're going to start talking about suffering and persecution. And he's going to lay out his curriculum vitae. He's going to give his resume here. He says, you think what I've been doing is fun? Okay, boys, hang on, because this is what's going to come upon all of you. And I'm saying this to us today. We need to begin to warn our children that this is coming upon the Christians in America if the Lord doesn't do something, okay? Here we go, Raj. He said, Paul says, let me brag here a minute. So I don't want to brag, but I just want you all to know. Let me brag here a minute about what's going on. Go ahead.
I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it was foolishly in this confidence of boasting. 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also.
Okay.
For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise.
Mm.
20, for ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also.
Okay, so here's some stuff that's coming. And I'm not being a fool. I'm telling you the truth, but I'm going to be bold. Get yourself ready. Here's what's happened to me as I've followed Christ. We said all that to get here. This is a great warning to all of us. Go ahead, Roger.
Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I.
So there ain't nothing special about them, boys. I'm one of those two.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft.
Okay, he said, here we go. Go ahead, Roger.
Of the Jews, 5 times received, I 40 stripes, save one.
He got beaten by the Jews 5 times, 39 stripes, 5 different times. He's given you what's happened to him as he's been persecuted for the cause of Christ. 5 times they whipped me, 39 lashes.
Dave, we talk about a lot of Paul and wrote 2/3 of the Bible of the New Testament. Seldom do you hear what Paul went through. We always hear he did it, but we don't ever hear very often what it meant.
Yeah, and we have to realize this. The gospel has gone to the world because this happened to Paul. Yeah. All of this stuff happened to him, and because he willingly took it, we have the gospel today. Go ahead. So he's been beaten 39 lashes 5 times. That happened to him. Go ahead. Thrice
I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned.
Let's not rush over these. When's the last time you were beaten with rods? It happened to him 3 times. He's beaten with rods. Go ahead.
Once I was stoned.
Oh, my. How many times have you been stoned? Go ahead.
It's unbelievable. Thrice suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep.
Isn't that amazing?
In journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Hey, Serge, what does he mean by in perils? What does that mean? When he says, I've been in perils.
I was asking that.
Difficult times.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Roger. I was asking myself that.
I was just saying difficult times.
Probably more than difficult, right? When something's perilous, it's pretty, pretty difficult, right? And who is he in perils against? Oh, my goodness. The whole thing, journeying's often in perils of waters. I was in trouble with robbers. I was in trouble with my own countrymen. I was in trouble by the heathen. I was in trouble in the city. I was in trouble in the wilderness. I was in trouble in the sea. I was in trouble even with my brothers, my phony brothers. But this dude's been through it for the gospel's sake. Go on, Raj, 27.
In weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness.
He laying it all out there, isn't he? Huh? Best life now. He ain't talking about your best life now. He said, you want to hear from these new false, all these guys are going to come give you this prosperity gospel, and these guys are going to come and they're going to give you a different gospel, and you're going to swallow all this stuff up, and you're going to think that this is Christianity. He says, let me tell you a little bit what the real gospel looks like, and he begins to lay these things out and what it's cost him up to this point. Where are we, Roger? 28?
I want to keep reading, but this bothers me. In weariness and painfulness and watching often in hunger and thirst and fasting often cold and naked, 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care
daily
of all the churches.
The daily. He said, not only that, I got all this other stuff I got to do. I got to go around and try to keep these churches in line and teach the gospel. He said, I'm getting beat. I'm getting flogged. I'm getting hit with a rock. I'm getting, this has not been my best life now. But the gospel has gone forward. That's the point that he's trying to make.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Who is weak, I am not weak. Who is offended, I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities.
Okay, Roger, let me stop a minute. Listen to all of you out there. This is talking to you, Roger, and it's talking to you, Serge. Imagine Apostle Paul saying this, verse 29. So you, who is weak? And I'm not? That's what he's saying. This is happening to you, not happening to me? You're having trouble, I'm not? What do you, come on, man. You're hungry, I'm not? So he's trying to emphasize to you guys are living a soft life. Why are you expecting things? Why are you expecting it to be soft? Look at what I've been through. Look at what I've had to done. Look at what I've had to do. I'm hungry. What? Who's weak? And I'm not? Who's offended? I don't burn. You follow what I'm saying? Do you see what he's saying? This comes to all of us. Quit griping and moaning and complaining, he's telling them. This is to be expected. We're about there. Go ahead. 31. 30.
If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities.
He thinks it's, if you're going to glory in anything at all, you're going to glory in what you suffered for the cross. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to brag about how many people I've led to Jesus. I'm not going to brag about our building. I'm not going to brag. I'm going to brag, baby. I'm going to show you my scars. I'm going to measure my effectiveness by the things that have happened to me. And he just listed those things to us. 31.
The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not.
Is that right? Go check me out, boys. This is all the truth. Hang on now. This is going to get really good. There's only two verses left. Still going to get good, Roger. 32.
In Damascus, the governor...
The
governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me.
He said he sent a whole garrison of police officers to get him. You see that? They're all after me, right? And watch what he says.
And through a window in a basket, which I was let down by the wall, and escaped his hands.
Okay, so when we look at this thing called Christianity, this modern Christianity, and we're trying to give our kids, see, we're having such a hard time getting the church engaged. One of the topics, one of the things that we've been discussing a little bit in some of our meetings is what is supposed to be our reaction here and now before it gets too late. Because at some point, this stuff is all going to come crumbling down upon us. And Roger, Serge, JR, have we prepared our children? We were downtown yesterday. I'm going to take a little seat here a minute. We were downtown yesterday. Are you guys familiar with this Pokemon thing that's going on? Anybody familiar with it? I'm not even really familiar with it.
No, I'm not either.
There's this Pokemon thing rage all over the cell phones. And we're downtown yesterday, and every person walking in is on a cell phone. And it's like they're following I'm not making this up. It's like they're following Pokemon through this park. Is that how it works, Stephen?
It's a demon.
And it's not just one person. It's guys are walking in groups of five and groups of ten, and they're playing this Pokemon game. And it is unbelievable how brain dead we have become, how manipulated we've become. We saw it last night that we are, Chad, get over there with Mike. How brain dead we have become, how manipulated we've become, how it is, in fact, it's become about our best life, and how we've been controlled by amusement. And I walked in here this morning, walked down into the lobby, and the TV's playing for the first time. I haven't heard the TV since I've been down there. And I'm listening to this propaganda being spewed from the TV. And why am I able to hear that propaganda being spewed from the TV? Hear me. Because I'm not listening to it regularly. I'm reading the scripture, and all of a sudden I can hear. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear.
Amen.
But if you're playing Pokemon all the time, and you're watching CNN, and you're watching Fox News, and you're watching all that stuff, and all of that lies coming into you, see, if you end up getting to the point where you can't even see or understand what's going on. So we've bought into this idea that what's going on in America ain't going to affect us, not going to affect me. It's just something I'm watching on TV. It's just a matrix that I'm trapped in. And I want you to know that here in Wichita, Kansas, we can see eyeball to eyeball and face to face that this thing is real.
Amen.
That this oppression of the government, whatever you want to call it, is real. Now, the police are doing everything they can. We haven't violated anything. The police aren't following us around or giving us any trouble. But I want you to know this, guys, that we are one snap away from oppression by the police officers. Remember what I started out talking about? In America, we don't punish evil. We punish good. And why are the police officers there? Because they're going to protect. Hear me. They're going to protect the right of a woman to murder her baby.
Amen.
And we're in trouble because we want to stop it. And the more and more evil, wait till they start illegalizing sex with animals. Oh, coach, that'll never happen. Oh, yeah? When they start legalizing that and you try to speak out against that. We just read what Paul went through, just trying to explain the truth to people, and part of the problem was coming, as it always is, from our own team. In the battle we're fighting here for abortion in Wichita, Kansas, we have the problem because why? Our own team isn't even with us. Those who should be with us. Ah, you're hateful. You're hateful. And it's woman's right to choose, and it's all that Pokemon propaganda that they've been feeding to us. I got Chad Estes over here. Mike's got him. Let's see if we can pull him up over there, Mike. Hey, Mike, can Chad hear me, you think? Yeah, so he can hear me. Okay, Chad's come all the way from Temple, Texas, which is down by Waco, Austin, one of those areas way down there. He's a state trooper. Chad, come on in here, man.
Yes, sir.
What brought you down here to Waco, Texas?
Well, how can you not come in and make a stand for something that you believe in? You know, I had a premonition early this morning, which kind of caused me to stop and think. But basically, if you knew tomorrow that everything that you loved and believed in was going to be illegal, what would you do about it today? Well, today could be that day. So stop, quit playing Pokemon, put down your phone or whatever, you know, and get involved. Grab your pen, get on the keyboard, be writing people what you're going to do. But mainly, we need activism. We need to put your feet where your mouth is. You need to get out here and make an impact. You know, numbers matter. Numbers matter. I mean, the other side, they're pulling in their numbers. They're pulling in their people. They're making a stand. And, hey, if God is with us, who can stand against us? Right, Coach?
Amen. Coach, you're muted.
Move him.
Coach, you're muted.
Yes, I'm muted. I didn't mute myself.
There you go.
See, okay, there you go, Mike. See, Mike was, here's what's happened technology-wise. Mike was catching me in the background with Chad, and so it was, now I think we're okay. So, Chad, come on now. Listen, man, you're a statey. That's what we call him up here in Ohio. There's Frank coming in behind him. We're going to grab Frank next. Grab Frankie, tell him he's next. He'll come in there. And Chad, you're seeing this stuff come down, right? You're seeing this stuff all around us from a cop. You were talking about the Pokemon thing yesterday, and you were sharing with me last night or the night before that you're trying to share this even with your cop buddies, to what's going on, and they're just blind to see it, right, Chad?
That's right. You know, it's just oblivious. It doesn't. It's not isolated just to the civilian population. You know, it's in the military. It's in your police forces. It's in your elected officials. And folks just don't see it. They don't recognize it. There's a veil of blindness that's put on them. And they don't have any urgency. They don't have, not really, not really. Boy, it's a good, they talk a good game. But look, we got to get down here. And, you know, if you want some muscles, you got to get in the weight room. Okay, that's bottom line is what there is to it. So these Pokemon people, you're getting your phone data. It's everywhere you go. That's why Steve Quell talks about the block it pocket. Put your phone in there and keep it for all your data from getting downloaded from every time you turn around. But you're giving it for free. Any free app that you get, okay, you're automatically giving them access to your phone, to your emails, your information, all your text messages, all your phone call logs, you know. So who knows how much information. And also they're data tracking you. Wherever you go, they're putting a ping out on your phone for any of your data.
But Chad, it's even more nefarious than that, because they're doing that to us under the guise of protection. And certainly that is one of the reasons that they're trying to get that data to be able to protect us. But there's a far more nefarious thing at work here. Explain that a little bit to us, Chad, about all this data collection.
Okay, well, that's it. You know, I'm no expert on it, but I'm doing my homework on it as well. But what the problem is that they're selling you peace and safety. We all know where that's going to go in eventually. Okay, it's going to lead to beheadings and all this kind of stuff. Okay,
people don't want to believe that, Chad. They don't want to believe that.
Well, I know it, but you know that. That's just I don't know what to say. It's very troubling. It's very troubling. And I don't know why we won't listen. We won't awaken. But, you know, Ephesians, Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman. Okay? All we have to do is tell you. We don't have to convince you. I'm not going to drive myself crazy trying to convince you. Okay? If you want to be stubborn, if you want to be ignorant, if you want to put your head in the sand, then, hey, that's your prerogative. But, you know, when trouble comes, you can't say.
So Chad, this first time you've been to an OSA event, did you even know that there were people like this that existed in the world?
Which people?
The guys that are here. The guys that are here. The men that you see here.
Well, you know, you hear about the pro life crew and the pro choice crew, if you will, pro death crew is what I call. Okay, but you know, you don't ever put a face to it. You know, you don't hear the stories, these great personal sacrifice that these folks have endured and are to be yet further endured. There's more to come. There's more to come. You know, the longer we wait, the more it costs us. The more it costs.
It ain't going to get better, is it, brother? It's going to get harder. It's going to be tougher.
Well, it's going to be, the lines are being drawn. It's very clear. It's very clear.
Chad.
There's less and less gray area.
Amen, brother. Chad, thanks for joining us this morning all the way from Temple, Chad. Texas. Brought his wife down with him and glad to be on. Let's pull Frankie in here. Frankie's an old veteran over there. Frank, those of you who watched the show, I don't know if you remember this back. I don't know, it was 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. I showed a video here on our show of this father who went before the local school board and for 3 minutes gave them an open rebuke. Well, that was my buddy Frank Campana. And Frank is here from down, he's from down around Cape Canaveral. That's the area he's in. He's brought his family. He's been an OSA guy for years. Frank, welcome to the show, man. Just give us your opinion of whatever's on your heart, brother.
Yeah, what we need back in this country is biblical manhood. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, we need to see, number one, examples of godly men going out and letting their theology become biography out in the streets. We also need godly men in their homes. We need men that are open up the Word of God. The greatest command God gave man was love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. But teach it diligently to their children when they rise up, when they're by the way, and when they lie down. Our job, man, is to start reading the Word of God to our children. You sit at the family table, and you read the Word to your family. Teach them the ways of God. Prepare them for the things that are coming. We need to prepare them biblically. We need to take that sword out of the sheath and start using it. The Bible says that God chose Abraham because Abraham would command his household to serve the Lord. We need commanders once again in our homes. We need commanders in our homes. We got men who will sign up for the military and obey everything the commander will tell them. They won't submit to their father. We need once again get godly men to be the examples for their family, walking out their theology, bringing it out to the streets, learning the Word of God, teaching the Word of God to their children, preparing them the way they should go. The Bible says this: prepare a child for the way he should go. When he's older, he won't stray from them. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The warning signs that, hey, son, don't go there. Don't go there. Homosexuality, pornography, all those things that will destroy the family. Don't go there. Raise some biblical men. We need godly men out there, Lord. And God, it's you, men. The mandate of Malachi 4 says this. It says this: to turn the hearts to the fathers, to the children. Men, turn your hearts to your children. And in turn, your children will turn their hearts to them, lest I smite the land with a curse. We in America are living under this curse that men have not taken their biblical responsibility to train their children the way it should go. Hallelujah for that. Thank you, God, for His Word.
We hear all the time when we're out on the streets. You got a how many kids you have, Frankie?
I have 9 children, 5 boys, 4 girls.
So Frankie takes his family to the streets, and we hear from people all the time that I don't want my children seeing those pictures. You guys are fanatical. I don't want Frank. Your children have been brought up on the streets. Give the people who are watching right now, Frank, the reality of what their activity on the street has done to their faith. Not your faith, not mommy and daddy's faith, but being out on the streets, living out their faith, what that has done inside them.
It gave them the ability to be pure because they know what evil looks like. My daughter, the first day she ever kissed her husband was the day that she got married. It made them the ability to be pure. When they see those pictures, what brings out to them is reality. I don't hide things from my children. I don't hide sin from them. I say, look what sin does. Look how sin destroys our nation. Look what our nation is crumbling because people are hiding the sin from their children instead of being, they're hypocrites. You come out there and say, listen, son and daughter, hey, I failed in this area, but look what it looks like. These are the consequences of sin. Don't go there. That's what it means to be the admonition and the fear of the Lord, to raise them and show them the warning signs of the dangers of abortion, homosexuality. Ephesians 6:4, it says expose them. That's why the Bible says it's a lamp unto my feet. What does lamp do? Well, it exposes darkness. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians, to expose the darkness in this day and let our children take the flashlight out and expose it. Listen, if I go into your garage and turn on the light, don't blame me for the mess in your garage, but I'll go in there and help you clean it up.
Frank, one of the things that we talked about is persecution, and we're not prepared for persecution. And certainly none of us really are. But Frankie, your kids are somewhat prepared. They've seen it. They know what it looks like.
Well, the book of Proverbs says, listen, a wise man sees trouble coming, and he prepares himself. Prepare your family for what's coming down the road. Prepare, read the Word of God to them. Let them see out in the streets what life is, and let them bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and hope for the future for other people. Remember, we teach our children, rescue the perishing, hope for the dying. Our only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. The only thing we have is His Word. And like I said, His Word is a lamp, and it prepares our children for our future home, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength, and love Jesus and give Jesus and hope to a world that's dying.
Amen, Frank. God bless you, man. I love you, Frank.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Can I ask Frank a question?
Hey, Frank and Mike. Frank, they got a question for Frankie. Go ahead, Roger.
Sure.
Frank, I had the opportunity to see the video at the school board, and it was powerful. What was there anything that came after that? Any comments? Anybody? You know, we saw the video, and it ended when you were done. Did the school board respond that day later? Was there any moving of the Holy Spirit? Anything in addition to what we saw? Were their hearts just cold?
Well, there's a lot of hardness of hearts. You know, one thing I have an issue with, you know, panty waist and limperish the pastors. You know, they ran and hugged the host. I don't understand what happened there. See, I was like number 89 in speaking, and a lot got up and spoke, and they were crying. But no one accepted them. I expressed to them that Jesus can accept them, and that we accept them if they bend to the living God, and, you know, and turn from their wickedness. And that's the hope I gave them. You know, we can't keep hugging these people without giving them truth. And, the biblical church is going around saying, I love you. But the Bible says clear, I had an opportunity to speak again, that love is patient, love is kind. But it doesn't rejoice in iniquity or delight in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. So I'm sure the real thing's being broken. I also was told that I was not allowed to speak the word abomination in there. And I expressed to them, I remember what, this is how kind of exercise rights. So listen, I have a first right of freedom of speech. You're not going to silence the voice of our Lord. And you know what? To silence, you're going to have to cut my head off. And listen, we should prepare for that too. But it's a great thing to be martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen, Frank. God bless you, buddy. You've encouraged a lot of guys. Good morning, Frank. I appreciate it. Mikey's breaking up here a little bit. I don't know what was going on. This is Bruce Guerin. Folks, I just want you to see that this is just real people. These aren't learned theologians that went to cemetery or anything like that. These are guys who just love the Lord and dig into the Word themselves. Bruce Guerin is a local here. Bruce, tell us just whatever's on your heart today about Operation Save America being here in Wichita.
Well, it's a great honor to have Operation Save America here. You see, Wichita is a high place. I it was 25 years ago for me. Actually, it was after the Summer of Mercy, and I was out at the abortion clinic praying, and I was holding my arms out and had my head bowed, and I looked down at my feet, and I, having been a Marine, I used to keep my shoes pretty shined, and I could tell they were dusty, and I couldn't tell how they'd gotten dusty. So I reached down with my hand, and I marked across my shoe, and I could tell it wasn't dust, it was ash. And when I looked up and I saw the incinerator smoking there at the abortion clinic, and knew that they were throwing babies in there, and they were burning them up, and that dust was spreading across this land, around this city, the wind was blowing it into schools, and into parking lots, and to fields and swimming pools. I guess that was the point at which I knew what Wichita had become and what it continues to be today when the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't stand. It spoke to me that day. And ever since then, the last 25 years, I've tried to open the eyes of the church locally so that they might understand and see what God has shown me.
You know, Bruce, you call it a high place. And George Tiller, by his own admission, killed 65,000 babies there. But Bruce, what people don't know, the reason it's such a mecca, this was the late-term abortion center. People didn't just drive from Oklahoma here. They came from all over the world to murder their babies here. Is that true, Bruce?
Yes, sir. They, as you stand out on the street when George was killing babies, and saw the women go in fully pregnant within days of having given birth, to their babies, and then come out with the baby left inside and then see the smoke from the incinerator. It doesn't take long to figure out what's going on. We've worked really hard at trying to get the local churches out there to see this, but for some reason or another, they have a hard time being able to understand this and how defeated we are until we're able to close that place down. We don't understand. We have people in churches. See, in 2 Kings, it talks about worshiping God but serving idols. And that's what we have going on here in Wichita. We worship God. We've got, I don't know, 500 or 600 metro churches. And boy, Sunday the churches fill up. But then the rest of the week, we serve our idols. And when we do that, we just open the doors to abortion clinics so that people can come in and kill their babies. And we can't seem to get the church out. And that's why Operation Save America is here, so that we'd be able to get the church out.
We love the Lord and we serve idols. God bless you, Bruce Guerin, for having us here and all that you guys do. Folks, I hate to have this just be like a man on the street, but this is some good stuff. This is some really, really good stuff. I'm going to say this, and I know I've told Ken, the guy you're looking at here, I've told him this a number of times. Ken's one of the bravest men I ever know. I've ever known. He's from Colorado, out in the Denver area. Ken, just give us a little bit, whatever's on your heart today about OSA, about the battle for life, about the persecution, about what your life has been like as you've been trying to serve the Lord with your whole heart, because I know you do.
Well, Coach, it's just a privilege to be around all these Christian warriors to begin with. So it's something that helps us all get more strength in the Lord by being together and with this unity. And Coach, I think that what the police and what our society is not looking at is that unborn babies' lives matter. I witnessed to one of the police officers the first day I got here, and he said, "We're out here to try to protect everyone's lives," because he was trying to talk about the blacks and the other minorities and everyone else. But I asked him, "What about the unborn children's lives?" And they just shut up immediately. They don't want to talk. It's not their job, because we got to follow the law. And the problem is the law is all corrupted right now. It's been bought off by the child sacrifice money from Planned Parenthood and all the other things. And with myself, what led me into this, before I got saved, 11 years before I got saved, I had a girlfriend I was looked out over, and I was part of the world. I went to church twice a year. But the thing is, at that point, she said she didn't want that child now, and she told me I had to pay for an abortion. And I knew it was wrong inside, Coach, but I didn't want to lose this girl. And so I went to Planned Parenthood, sat in my car, and afterwards, she came out, and it was over with. You cannot build a relationship on murder, and our society doesn't understand that. And right now, moral fabric of our society because of marriage and what we have been part of, and it's me. I'm guilty of murder, but I never told anybody about it for 11 years until I had gone through another marriage and a second divorce and was broken by the Lord. And I mean, God chastised those he loves, and I was really broken. And I just say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for that, to be able to get saved.
What is it about OSA you like, man? You're here all the time. You and your wife, Jo, although she can't be here this time. What's the thing that draws you here, Ken?
It's to be around other Christian warriors that have the same love for the Lord. We know that this can't be done by military force. We know that it's only going to be able to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to try to expose the evil and try to wake up people. And in the book of Jude, it says some with love and compassion, you can make a difference, but some with the fear of the Lord. And we got to be out there preaching on the streets to wake up the people. We have to be in front of the abortion clinics to get those people saved that work there, the people going in to see those babies' lives that are going to be brought to life. We've seen many women change their mind, and that's why, to be around people that feel the same way. And thank you, Coach.
God bless you. Come on in, Ken, and get some eggs, and come in and get some taters and eggs, brother. God bless you. Thanks for being with us here today. Now, what we got going here, Mike? Mike, if you can put him against the wall, I'm in the picture again. Move him, there, right there. Good. Now this brother comes up to me last night after service, says, "Hey coach, I'm on the show every morning. I'm on this show every morning." He's driven all the way from Indiana to be here because I put an appeal out. Come on, man, get in your car and come. And this brother Wayne has answered that call. Tell us what brought you here, brother. We just got a couple minutes left here.
Well, very quickly, I'm a fan. I've seen a lot of your commentaries, and when you came on the air in January, I hide out in the queue and get fed good. I get beat up almost every day because I pastor a church, but I love it, and I love you for it. You've challenged my heart, and I believe you're changing my life. I got up this morning. My verse this morning was, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will hold you with my right hand." And so we're ready for the day and just to see what God has to do. We thank you for challenging me.
Is it, Pastor, changing your approach in the church? And if so, how are the people receiving it?
Yeah, they're asking me, "What in the world's happening to you? You've got radical." But it's really not radical. It's just a new way to tell the truth and challenge people.
Amen. Amen.
Just a different perspective on the Bible, brother. It's in there, isn't it? We're not making it up, and I'm sure as a minister of the gospel, you're checking us out and making sure we're telling you the things that are true, being a good Berean, and you say, "You know what? This guy's onto something here." And we know that it's changing lives all across America. So God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming and joining us. Hey, Pastor Matt. A real quick interview. I know you're tired. I want to get you live. Here's Pastor Matt Truella. We may run over here a couple minutes. Go follow him. Was that unbelievable? We got a pastor whose preaching is changing now. Oh my God! All right. Okay, Pastor Matt. I know you can probably hear me. Pastor
yeah,
Matt.
That was overheated.
He shut down. Did your phone shut down?
Overheated.
Come on over here, Matt. I can't hear anybody. So Matt and I are going to do one of these joint interviews here. This is Pastor Matt Truella. Matt's a good buddy of mine. And Matt is the one who's come up with the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. And he is changing, not he, the Lord through him, is changing the views of many, many Christians, many pastors, and many legislators all across America. And Matt, if you could, just in a nutshell, explain to people the simplicity of what this doctrine is and how it works.
Sure. It is really simple. It simply is that when the higher-ranking civil authority makes unjust or immoral law, policy, or court opinion, the lower or lesser-ranking civil authority has both the right and the duty not to obey the higher authority, and if necessary, to actively resist the higher authority. So I bring that up to people all the time throughout my daily day. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of lesser magistrate? Nobody ever has. But when I explain it to them, just like I said it to you now, about 80% of them say, "Man, that's something we need today in our day." So people readily get it, that we have a federal government that's out of control, and God
has
given
us... We're not going to win this in the courts, are we, Matt?
We will not, and that is an extremely urgent thing for people to understand. We keep doing the same thing over and over, going back to the same courts with the same outcome. Every line keeps turning out that way. The other branches of government must step up to the plate and do their duty. The executive branches and also the legislative branches, because the federal judiciary is the tyrant.
So listen, folks, this is biblical. Jesus was the lesser magistrate. His daddy was going to bring wrath and judgment upon the people, and Jesus stood between his father and the people and interposed, didn't he?
Yeah, interposition is a biblical doctrine. It's a paramount biblical doctrine. You see it throughout Scripture. Examples that I use regularly are like the Hebrew midwives. They were told by the civil authorities to kill the Hebrew male children. They refused to do so, and so that the children were not killed and were left alive. And there's dozens of other examples also from church history. You look at Theodosius, Emperor Theodosius, not being allowed to enter the church by Ambrose. That was a major change in Theodosius' life where he repented before God. That's way back in the 1400s. He followed all the way up to the rescue movement, you know, up 20 years ago. The Christians interposed at the doors of the abortion clinics, placing themselves between the oppressor, the abortionist, and the preborn child who was threatened. What the lesser magistrate's doing is interposing between the tyrant higher civil authority and those that they want to harm. In this case, so this is exciting because now we are able to instruct the magistrates in their duty before God. We all don't just have to sit around and wait for the next president,
next court decision,
Supreme Court justice, and all that nonsense. No, evil is happening now. The babies are dying today. Your duty is to interpose and stop this bloodshed.
Don, thanks, Matt. Go get you something to eat. We'll get him on another time. We'll let him lay it out. This is the stuff that we're learning down here at Operation Save America. One life at a time, we're making a difference. And just we covet your prayers. We appreciate you watching us today. And I want you to know this, that there are a bunch of us here in Wichita, Kansas this morning that are not taking this whole thing lying down. It's time to stand up and fight. Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished. Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.